Good morning. The Tennessee Volunteers. One fan. Got their name from the War of 1812 when 1,500 Tennessee troops marched against the British with General Andrew Jackson. The troops of Tennessee also volunteered in 1835 in the War of Texas versus Mexico. One of their more famous, there was a lot of famous guys down there at the Alamo, but one of their more famous guys who was also from Tennessee was Davy Crockett, who actually was a real guy, Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier. And Davy Crockett was said that he enlisted as a private in the Texas Army to defend Texas against the Mexican onslaught. And you may know the story there of the Alamo. Davy Crockett did give his life there at the Alamo. He volunteered in 1835 to go down there and fight. I don't think there was much money going around. And he died there in the Alamo. He was the ultimate volunteer from Tennessee. Tennessee started playing football. They probably started in Knoxville, I guess, right? In 1891. In 1902, an Atlanta Journal-Constitution writer called them the Volunteers, the football team, when they beat Georgia Tech 10-6. Sounds like a great game. In 1905, they officially adopted the Tennessee Volunteer name for the football team. And in 1983, not too long ago, they adopted Davy Crockett as their logo for the Tennessee Volunteers. So we're going to talk about volunteering today. And Paul is very clear about what he wants you to volunteer for here in 1 Corinthians 16. He wants you to volunteer to give some of your hard-earned income. He doesn't beat around the bush about that in 1 Corinthians 16. So let's spend a minute talking about volunteering. Volunteering can have a lot of meanings. Recently, it's picked up a little bit of a negative connotation. You say, I'm volunteering to serve my time, but it's not like I'm getting paid for volunteering. It's not like I'm getting paid to do this work. So that means you work like a volunteer. You kind of do a half-hearted effort. The kids nowadays, when they're told to go do a project or whatever, they say they're voluntold. Meaning they didn't want to really volunteer. They're not really volunteering. On the other end, you have Davy Crockett. Davy Crockett volunteered to go fight, and he gave his life. He was the ultimate volunteer. My crack on the Navy today, there's a joke in the armed services, in the Marine Corps maybe, that says, do you know what the acronym Navy stands for? It stands for Never Again Volunteer Yourself. Meaning that when you volunteer in the Navy, they make you do a whole bunch of stuff that's unpleasant. You shouldn't have volunteered in the first place. And one last thing, tax season is upon us. And our system is that we volunteer to report our income, and the government volunteers to take some of it from us. And we understand how that relationship works. One of those is more compulsory than the other. So let's look at Paul's request for collections for money in 1 Corinthians 16. We are in the last book of 1 Corinthians. We're in the last chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 to 4. First Corinthians 16, 1 to 4. He says, now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then when I arrive, I will give you letters of introduction to the men who approve, to the men you approve, and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. So Paul does three things in these first four verses. First of all, he establishes a precedent. He says the Galatians over there in Turkey, just across the Aegean Sea, he says, I've been over there in with the Galatians, and they are giving as well. He says, this is what we do as Christians. Galatians is actually after Corinthians. So in the Bible, it's to the right, but here he's setting the precedent and saying, the Galatian churches are giving, you should also give. He sets that precedent there. He gives them a procedure. Paul doesn't do a whole lot of these in Scripture, but he does give them a very specific procedure here. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. So he says, do it weekly and make it proportionate to your income. Very, very, very detailed there. And he gives them a donee for the gifts. He gives them a destination. He says, we're going to take this money and give it to Jerusalem. We won't get into that too much, but there was a need in Jerusalem. I think there's some poor people in Jerusalem. There's widows and orphans in Jerusalem, and they are collecting money to send to Jerusalem, he says in Acts. I think also these areas like Corinth and Ephesians, I think they were prosperous places, so they were sending their money in. It wasn't like rural Georgia sending your money to New York City is what it kind of feels like. But I think these places were very prosperous, Corinth and Ephesus, Philippians. And so they had extra resources where they could send to Jerusalem. So he gives them a destination. We're going to send this money to Jerusalem. And he's very cordial about it. He says, we're going to send men to go to Jerusalem. And if it's okay with you all, I'll go there with you as well. So is this an order from Paul? Is he ordering them to give their money to Jerusalem to save weekly? Is it encouragement? Is he encouraging them to give to give their money? Is it an exhortation? Is he exhorting them to give to Jerusalem? If you're one of the Corinthians, how do you view this? If you're one of the people sitting here, how do you view this? Are you volunteering to give some of your income to Jerusalem? Kind of like you volunteered your income to the IRS. Are you volunteering it? Or are you being coerced? Are you being forced? Are you being cajoled? We have a lot of words for this relationship because it takes a lot of forms. But we're going to put it up into this one word, like Davy Crockett, we're going to put it into this one word, volunteer. Paul is asking the people of Corinthians to volunteer. So let's put that in the context of leadership today for us. And the first thing a leader must do is volunteer. That's how I got up here today. Who's the class leader at SEAL training, at BUDS? Well, it's going to be one of our junior officers, right? It's going to be one of our ensigns, Lieutenant Junior Grade. And where did he go to school? He went to an ROTC program, or he went into the Naval Academy, right? And how did he get to the Naval Academy? He volunteered. He says, I want to go serve my country, and I want to be an officer in the United States Navy. Next thing you know, he's in front of a SEAL class as the class leader. He volunteered for that position too. As a father, you volunteered to be the leader for your children. As a husband, you volunteered to be a leader for your wife. As a Christian, you volunteered to follow Christ. And this is where the leader-volunteer dynamic gets interesting. Because in this dynamic where the leader is following Christ, the leader is the one who follows. Jesus does this with the disciples, right? He calls the disciples. He asks them to volunteer. And then he sends out the disciples. He says he sends out the 12. So they volunteer to become leaders. And they volunteer to follow to become leaders. And as a leader, you ask for instruction, right? Most leaders have bosses. You ask for instruction from your boss. You receive the instruction from your boss. You interpret the instruction. right? You're not a robot. You have to interpret the instruction. And then you set the example. And as a volunteer, you're going to insert yourself into this loop when called to do so. So sometimes you're the one giving the instruction. Sometimes you're the one receiving the instruction. Sometimes you're the one interpreting the instruction. Sometimes you're just the one setting the example. Sometimes in the corporate world, we call that an individual contributor. I don't want to be a leader. I want to be an individual contributor. But what you're really doing by being an individual contributor is you're setting the example. And when you set the example, you are in a place where you can volunteer to be a leader, to give the instruction to others, to delegate. So as a leader, you give instruction. You supervise. You give feedback. If we think about that you're always in this loop, you're probably not ever the source of that final instruction. You're probably never the source, you know, of all those things. You probably think about the world. You probably think, well, maybe if I got to a place like Arthur Blank. He owns the Falcons. He picks the GM. He picks the coach. He picks the stadium. But I would think if you called up Arthur Blank, he probably won't take your phone call. But if you called him up, he'd say, you know, I get phone calls too. I get the mayor. I get the governor. I get the, you know, my wife or whatever. He goes, I'm not the source of all this. I get phone calls too. I also receive instruction. I also have to delegate. I also have to interpret instruction. I also have to set the example. So whether you're an individual contributor getting ready to receive instruction, volunteer for that, or whether you're the leader and you have volunteered for that. You want to be a superb volunteer anywhere in that cycle. So let's come back and wrap it up here in 1 Corinthians. With 1 Corinthians, the first verse Paul says is, do what I told the Galatians churches to do. Do what I told. If we read it with a little emphasis there, it sounds more like an order. The first step for leadership, for me, is a coping mechanism I have. The first step for leadership, if you have an independent entrepreneurial spirit, sometimes you have to contradict it, right? When your wife tells you something, first this time, she's like, I don't think that's a good idea. You know, you say that. Or as you get older, you like physically bite your tongue and you don't say it. So a little technique is, when someone orders you to do something, the first thing you do is say, that's a dumb idea, we're not going to do that. And if you do it with your wife, you bite your tongue, and then you physically bite your tongue. Don't do it. So then you take that in your mind, you say, I'm going to disobey this order. Paul says, do what I told you to do. And you're going to say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep my money for myself. We're going to have a little mutiny here against Paul, and we're going to tell him that he's off the tracks, going the wrong way. So then you want to play that out and say, if I contradict this leader, how's that going to work for me? You know, contradict Paul, don't give. You're like, okay, that's not good. So the second step is we choose not to contradict. We've entered the volunteer stage here where we choose not to contradict. So I say, I've contradicted in my mind. My wife told me we should do this thing, and I told her it was a dumb idea, just in my mind. We've stretched that out. And I said, boy, this is going to really end poorly for me. Now I'm going to choose not to contradict, and I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to be a volunteer. And then the third step, I think this is the best one, and it comes with age, is understand that as a leader, when you volunteer, when you accept responsibility, you're going to get more than you bargained for. Sometimes we just get the expected, right? When we volunteer to be a father, we know we're going to have to financially provide for our family. We know we're going to have to buy a house. We know we're going to have to teach our sons and daughters how to throw a ball. We kind of have that like written down. I was like, 5 years old, we're going to start hiking. And, 4 years old, we're going to start playing ball. And, you know, you have this little list of a father, all the things that you're volunteering to do. But we really understand that what we're volunteering to do is be that father figure for our son, not to do this series of steps. And we understand that when we volunteer for that, it's going to be more than what we expected. we're going to take the attitude then, with just like with fatherhood, with life, that this is what I signed up for. This is what I signed up for. Sometimes at work, you know, you think, this is not what I signed up for. But hey, lo and behold, when you volunteer, you need to take the attitude, this is what I signed up for. I got a text from a guy last week. He said, let's get together. I'm thinking, that means I have to drive downtown. I have to probably make some sort of financial commitment, contribution, and I have to make a time commitment. I was doing the contradiction. So I think I said, it's like Easter or it's tax time, or I came up with an excuse to buy myself a little time. I did not want to volunteer. I knew that it would take commitment to it. So I put it on my calendar. I think I said, Siri, remind me on Tuesday to get back with such and such. And I'm pretty good about it. If it's on my calendar, I try to do it. So I sat down there for a minute, and I just texted him back, I'm in, which is the exact same response I would have given him 3 days earlier, because it was my initial response. But what I wanted to tell him, this is I'm in, and if my feet are here with you, if I've volunteered with you, then you've got all of me. And I was a little hesitant at first to give all of me to this endeavor. But when I texted him back 3 days later and said, I'm in, I want him to know that if my feet are there, then you've got all of me. I'm a volunteer. And God is going to use people to spur you to action like this. You're just not going to receive your instruction from high or come up with it on your own. More than likely, someone's going to spur you to action. Someone's going to ask you something. Would you do this? And you're going to be in one of those positions. You're going to be setting the example as an individual contributor. Or you're going to be a leader. And I think one of the things we need to think about is, I'm going to be good at saying no to a lot of things. I'm going to be good at saying, you want to go out with your buddies and stay out late? Nah, I don't want to do that. You want to go on this golf trip for 3 days? Nah, I don't want to do that. But when the one thing comes along that you should volunteer for, when you can feel, sometimes you feel it when someone asks you something, you feel a little bit in your chest, like, whew, this is heavy, but it's probably the right thing to do. You want to be ready to say yes when that one thing comes along. And here in our verse today, you want to be ready to give. Paul says, set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income each week. It's not a surprise, right? If you're making money weekly, biweekly, monthly, on the deal, you need to be setting aside some of that money to give. You've been told to be ready to volunteer your money. So when you're asked for your money, you said you better be ready to give, because you've been told, set aside your money to give. Don't be one of these guys that says, I'm going to wait on the deal, I'm going to see how the stock market turns out this year, or I'm going to see if, you know, such and such is okay. That's not what he's saying here. These people have the same issues that we have today. They made money. They need to be setting aside money to give. You make money. If you're making money, you need to be setting aside money to give on an as regular basis as you can. He calls it the first day of every week. I'm not sure what day of the week that was, but he told them to set aside money the first day of every week. He's going to ask them to volunteer, and he wants them to be a great volunteer. So the challenge today is to be a volunteer leader in the manner of Davy Crockett. A volunteer leader is the top, because a volunteer leader gives all. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this time today. We thank you for this spring season. We thank you for all the blessings that you give us. And I do pray that you would make us have a giving spirit. You've given us everything, and you would just give us a spirit of generosity and giving this year. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. Have a good time at your tables.